Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Earlier this summer, Milwaukee launched a new effort called Housing First to try to address the problem of chronic homelessness in the city. An estimated 200 people in Milwaukee went without housing for a full year at last count, or were homeless multiple times over 3 years.
Currently, the largest homeless shelter, which offers beds for shorter periods of time, is the Milwaukee Rescue Mission on West Wells Street. But while it provides hundreds of beds and meals each day, it's also upfront about its religious mission.
That led Milwaukee Magazine's Matt Rohde to wonder how the mission's two missions go hand in hand. And he's with us now to share what he learned. Welcome back to Lake Effect.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
What was the central question you were asking when you set out to report this piece?
I was curious what the significance and the impact was of having one of the biggest homeless shelters in the city proselytizing and spreading Christian religion as a core part of its identity and what motivated it, and then how it directly went about delivering services to people, which include beds and some job training and life skills and life coaching and food. They serve three meals a day. And it just really seems significant that our biggest shelter was so closely tied into a religious mission in that way.
Well, and it's the biggest shelter. How many people does the Milwaukee Rescue Mission serve?
The city lets it go beyond its legal capacity during the winter. And at that time, it has about 250 beds for men and 150 for women who are part of families. They don't have beds really for single women. Those get referred out to another network. And the city is usually cited as having a bit less than 1,000 short-term shelter beds. So the Milwaukee Rescue Mission is making up about half of those at its peak.
Well, and so paint a picture of this place. This is on Wells Street, just west of the Marquette area, right?
Right. It's an enormous old middle school that they bought some years ago and have converted and totally colonized and renovated. And it's in quite fine condition. And they have a choice school operating in the lower levels. And then there's the Joy House for women and families that have their own kind of like suites and setup. And then there's the rooms for the men, a lot of which there's kind of like one huge room we walked into that I don't know, maybe there's 100 beds or more in it, where literally you're kind of shoulder to shoulder between bunks. And people aren't usually inside there until it's time for sleeping because it's so packed in like sardines. It's an enormous old building, and you could film a movie in there, you could think, with some kind of institutional narrative.
Well, and you mentioned it has a proselytizing mission in addition to what it does in terms of housing and feeding the homeless. It was founded that way, right? This is more than 100 years old.
Right. The late 1890s, the official history says that a group of Christian businessmen in allegiance with a traveling minister founded the mission downtown, and then it moved to another location that was eventually demolished to make way for the Bradley Center, and then it moved to its current location. And if you want a meal, they kind of wrap in gauze the different ways that they talk about you can get to their services, but essentially you need to be in a room and at least hearing a religious service, a Christian service. And there are short ones before breakfast and lunch, and then they close the doors in the early evening and they have a longer 45-minute service. And then dinner begins and you can also go to bed later on.
In terms of what it requires, how active a role do people need to play in this prayer service?
It's totally acceptable to sit in the back row and fall asleep. They said some people do that. They have people who are identified with another faith, who are Muslim or who don't feel attached to any religious tradition, come in. And the director told me, we tell them you don't have to adopt our Christian beliefs. Everyone's going to be in the chapel and everyone's going to be leaving from the chapel to go to the cafeteria. So and they kind of control where people go through the building because it's, you know, a place, an enormous place. And during the day, they don't really have the staff to look after hundreds of people kind of wandering through the whole thing. So people are kind of guided through the facility at different points of the day.
You mentioned the three largest homeless shelters and meal providers, and they are all religiously affiliated, right?
Right. None are as closely intertwined as the rescue mission. The Salvation Army Emergency Lodge, they have some connections to religious programming. You can get to church on Sunday if you want to, but there's no requirement that you have to attend some kind of service in order to keep a bed there.
And what about the St. Ben's Community Meal, which is a Catholic program?
Right. That's been going on for a long time, and it's tied into the St. Ben's Clinic, which is a really active provider of health care and some social worker type stuff for homeless people. And they have a prayer early on once they start serving the meal. And they serve 300 to 450 people a day. And it's this huge stream of volunteers makes this happen every day. And there's a short prayer. Yeah, but that's over in a matter of seconds.
At the same time, you write that the rescue mission receives virtually no government support. So there is nothing there that runs afoul of any laws, right?
Right. They can essentially do what they want to. They have the choice school, so they get money that's redirected from the state, et cetera. But all their other fundraising is they run about $11 million a year. And they told me our bread and butter is direct mail and small donations, which people will tell you at the head of various causes. But their case, it seems to be somewhat what's actually happening. And they get some other donations. And they get food from some corporate sources like Cargill Beef. We'll pack up food for them. And at the end of every week on Friday, Northwestern Mutual takes all their leftover cafeteria food from their cafeteria, pack it up, and send it to the rescue mission to be served.
You do cite a study out of USC that looked at the success of religious involvement when it comes to the delivery of social services. What did that study conclude?
I'm not the first person to ask questions like this because, I mean, Catholics are involved in all kinds of different social services. We have health insurance providers with strong religious ties and backgrounds, and then hospitals that are And they found that being involved in religious programming was associated with somewhat better feelings of well-being and better outcomes in the long run for people. One of the researchers that I contacted said she had done a pretty wide survey of programs providing homeless services to children in particular, and none of them had the sort of you have to go to participate in religious programming to get services like a bed or food.
So at the end of the day, the specific question that you were looking at, you know, what's the impact of having the largest provider of services to homeless people in town have this religious element to it? It's still an open question?
You have to wonder, would it be as large and well-funded by private sources if it wasn't able to pitch itself as we're not just giving people three squares and a bed, we're changing their lives with religion. And the staff members that I spoke to, I think they have like a dozen people who are ordained ministers on staff. And they said that we just have a fever for doing this and that we wouldn't have unless we had a religious identity. I also spent some time at the Salvation Army Emergency Lodge, and they had some they were pretty motivated as well. And there's a conference in Madison a while back where social service providers with a religious background met with secular ones. And there was a little bit of debate that broke out because the religious people said, we're so into our jobs because we see it as a mission. But then the secular people said, well, we see it as a mission too. And we're we're also extremely motivated.
So at the end of the day, just kind of an interesting question to be mulling over in our heads.
Right, right.
All right. Well, Matt Rohde, we will mull it over some more. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Have a good day.
Matt Rohde is a senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine. His article on the Milwaukee Rescue Mission is in the July issue.